In this session, we're going to speak about personal self-care, which is really, really important. And we're also going to speak about the limits of your counseling or your capacity to minister in this area. So if we look firstly at personal self-care, at the end of this module, you'll see that there's a self-assessment questionnaire which I've put together. I'm quite excited about this one because I think it makes it practical. And it's something that you can use when you are working with somebody, ministering to them. But I've put it in right here in session two because I believe it's something that you need to fill in. To just have a check-in with where you're at with your own personal self-care and your own emotional well-being. So we'll chat through that just now. But first of all, just to focus on why is it important to look after ourselves. And, you know, as I mentioned in the previous session, if we are well cared for, if we're well maintained on an emotional and a physical and a spiritual level, then we have a lot greater capacity to be able to help somebody else. And it's often when we aren't well cared for that there's almost blockages in the conduit that we are. And those blockages or obstructions can often impede the process of helping somebody. So I mentioned before about blind spots. Those can also be things like blockages. So really what's important here is to assess where you're at and also to look at what can you implement in your life so that you can grow and you can make sure that there's good self-care going on. So one of the things I want to speak through is support, and just to be aware that you need to be in an accountable relationship. You need to be receiving from somebody. I remember I was one of the pastors once said from the pulpit, you know, who's imparting into your life? And it was really a bit of a kind of one of those questions that makes you think, because sometimes, especially if you've been walking a journey with God for a long time, you come to a place where you don't really allow people to impart anymore. You're open to listen, but you're not necessarily in an accountable relationship where you can be honest with somebody about where you're really at. And I want to encourage you that if you don't have that in your life, you need to be setting that up. So a space where you can be real about your sin, where you can be real about the things that you're struggling with, you can be real about your emotions. And sometimes it needs to be somebody a little bit removed. So not a spouse or a sibling, but somebody who doesn't know you as well as those people who perhaps won't be as real with you as somebody a little bit more removed and perhaps more senior to you. So if we look at things like blind spots, one of the areas that potentially could set you up for problems in the personal encounter ministry is if you actually have a need to save people or to have people become dependent on you. And this is the main thing that I want to emphasize in this session, is that we need to be real with what is our motivation in getting involved with people and ministering to them on the soul level. And if you realize that actually a lot of why you do this is that it makes you feel good when you are saving or rescuing people, or when people think of you as an expert, when they come to you for advice. I mean, it's normal on some level to feel good about those things, because I think for all of us, there's a sense of affirmation around that. But if that is your only motivation, or if you get offended if they're not listening to you, then you need to be careful, because then possibly there's a blind spot in this area. And what you might then engender is a soul tie with this person, where instead of them coming to you for help so that they can draw closer to God, they actually end up relying on you and becoming dependent on you. And that type of relationship is a perversion of what God has shown us, which is really a relationship where there's unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, but there's a freedom of autonomy, a freedom To be an individual who chooses to love and who chooses to connect. So really want to caution you, sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing this, but you do need to be aware that you're in a position of power if someone has come to you for help. And so you are the one who sets the tone of how the relationship plays out. And later on, one of the sessions, we'll talk through boundaries and how you put up emotional boundaries to ensure that that type of dependent relationship doesn't kind of exist in this setup. So one of the other things that you need to be aware of is that you are not the expert. I just want to release any of you right now who feel that you need to be a counselor or you need to know everything. Sometimes when someone comes for advice, we kind of have this inclination or this desire to be all-knowing, or we even feel that we have to be all-knowing, and it's really not the case. I think sometimes one of the best answers is, I don't know, but I'll help you find out. So I just want to say, don't take up that burden. Don't take up that responsibility. You don't have to be the expert. You're not considered the expert. You just need to love. And in fact, I'd caution you from taking on a position where you make yourself out to be the expert, because what you often then do is you set yourself up for failure, or you set the whole process up for failure, because when you can't fulfill that expectation, the person feels despondent. Remember that God is the ultimate authority. He's the expert. So what we always be wanting to do in this process is leading the person to seek advice from God, and to lead them in a process where they prayerfully can ask God the answers to their questions, ask Him to help them solve their problems. So that's possibly the best thing that you can do. And when you feel responsible to know everything and to be everything for the person, then generally it's not a healthy setup, and it's probably not going to encourage healthy healing in this person's life. It's important to realize that at times you might actually need to ask somebody to support you in this process. If you are busy ministering to somebody and you may be feeling the pressure to be the expert, or you're perhaps feeling out of your depth. So I'd encourage you there to be aware of, and we'll speak about it a bit later, but be aware of the resources that you have available to you. So often that might be a small group facilitator, or your district leader, might be somebody whom you respect as giving wise counsel. So don't ever feel that you need to do these things on your own. We spoke earlier about respecting confidentiality, so one needs to bear that in mind. But I really would suggest that instead of kind of going off on a tangent and trying to be the savior to this person, especially in the beginning when this maybe feels new to you and you are feeling a little bit out of your depth, it's helpful to ask for help and to perhaps be cautious in how you convey the story so that the person can't be identified. And as I said before, maybe asking permission for you to ask for help from the individual who came to you initially, but really being open to learn, because this is a learning process. And I think you'll find that as you practice it and as you become more familiar with it, it comes more easily. And all of these things, all that we are aiming to be is the facilitator, where we facilitate the person connecting with God. So if you think about it in that way, it sometimes becomes a lot less scary and overwhelming, and more just something where you can relax and you can allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. And you're just there to bring logical wisdom, maybe from your own understanding or your own experience at times, sometimes to bring insight that is revelation from the Holy Spirit, and other times just to bring perspective or just to listen. And when you relax in these things and you can kind of let things flow, it really does bring relief, and it often brings a huge shift in that person's life. But those things are only often possible if your personal self-care, if where you're at, is in a good space, and where you're feeling connected to God, where you're feeling prayed up, where you're feeling emotionally whole and emotionally stable. So that's really why in this session we focus on that. And it's almost the starting block before you begin this journey, is to make sure that those things are in place. As I've mentioned before, there are There's a clear distinction of what a counselor is, and that's actually defined by the law for us in South Africa. So sometimes I might creep in the word counseling or counselor, but actually it's not right in this context. None of us are counselors unless we've studied further and we've actually got the qualification, but most of you won't have. And it's really important to not set sort of an expectation of you being a counselor before the person. Sometimes that might lead to the person feeling deceived, or you know, or even perhaps wanting to take legal action against you for advice given. So I really want to convey that you're there to minister, you're there to help, but don't make out that you have a professional training in this area if you don't. So if we do make a distinction between the three, a counselor is somebody who has generally done a bachelor's degree in psychology and perhaps an honours. They will then have to do practical time, normally about 100 hours of counselling, and it's only after that that they can register with the Health Professions Council of South Africa as a registered counsellor. So as you can see, that's mainly something that most of us haven't done. So don't use that word. It's easier just to call yourself somebody who's there to help, somebody who's there to support, somebody who's there to minister. In contrast, a psychologist is somebody who has taken the counselling and developed their expertise in that area. So generally they would have done a bachelor's degree and an honours and then gone on to do a master's, which is another 2 years, including an internship. And most often they would also have to do a kind of community service year. So somebody who's a psychologist would have trained 7 years in this field in order to be able to give the advice that they give. So it's important also to bear that in mind, that there's no ways you are expected to have that level of knowledge or expertise. So don't set yourself up with that expectation. Just be real about what you can provide. Be real about who you are in God and in Christ, and be real about your desire to help this person. And if you at any time feel that what the person is presenting to you is completely above your knowledge and expertise, then refer them. We'll speak a little later about setting up networks and referral systems, so it makes it easier for you that as soon as you are feeling that this is overwhelming or that the person needs more in-depth advice, you know exactly who you trust and to whom you can refer. Because there are these resources available in our communities, and we need to avail ourselves of them and really be able to offer the person the most comprehensive help as possible. As I said, we're focusing on self-care in this session. Maybe for some of you, that's a really weird term. So I think what I'd like to do is speak about that practically. What does that actually mean? And obviously, we always kind of trying to bear in mind, what does this mean to me and my own personal self-care? But also, what does that mean in terms of somebody else? Because we want to be encouraging self-care with the people with whom we minister, and often the understanding begins firstly with ourselves. So as I said earlier in the session, I've developed a self-care questionnaire, and this is really just a way of looking practically at the different aspects of looking after yourself. We can just go through the different aspects of self-care and being real about where we're at. So in terms of body or physical functioning, remember in session one we spoke about the person being divided into body, soul, and spirit. So that's how we're going to look at this as well. So looking at the physical functioning, how are things going around sleep? Often this is one of the first areas that problems or difficulties start to arise. So look at things like, you know, are you struggling to sleep if you're real with yourself? Do you struggle to fall asleep? Sometimes people don't realize that they struggle to fall asleep because they actually use distraction techniques. So they're on Facebook until 1 or 2 in the morning, or they watch series, or they need to go sleep with music on. And so they don't realize there's actually a sleep problem because they're actually already doing something to compensate for it. So think about those things in your own life, and then obviously in the people that you are ministering to. Do you find that you go to sleep early and easily, but actually you tend to wake up at, say, 4 in the morning, and you lie there tossing and turning and worrying about things? Also means essentially that your sleep is being disturbed. Do you avoid sleep, some of the things I spoke about earlier? Or do you find that you're sleeping 8 hours or so, but you're so exhausted and it just feels like you've never had enough sleep, and at any opportunity you want to lie down and go to sleep? So those are some of the things that could be affecting you, or could be signs or symptoms that there's something else going on, and we just need to be real about measuring them and acknowledging them. Another area to look at is something like nutrition and exercise. Do you find that your appetite has changed? So I'm not speaking about whether you're eating less or more. It's more about, are you hungry or not hungry? So somebody who's quite severely depressed, often their appetite completely disappears and they actually don't even get hungry. For a few days, not really have a desire to eat, or food might just be completely unappetizing or unappealing to them. Look at things like, has there been significant weight loss or gain? I'm not talking about being on a diet where you're trying to lose weight. I'm speaking about sort of out of the blue, you've lost an enormous amount of weight, maybe because of it being stress-related, or you've picked up a lot of weight. And then looking at things like binging, binge eating or purging, because these are also things that often they're habits or behaviors that we get into because something else is actually bothering us on a deeper level. Does a person struggle with daily tasks like making food and eating regular meals? So this is another indication of self-care. Somebody who is able to responsibly look after themselves will be able to provide for themselves, will be able to go to the shops, think about their week ahead, plan their meals, pack lunch in perhaps for work or for varsity. So these are all things, I mean, look, all of us have our days where we throw something into our handbag because we're just so rushed, and that's normal. But what we're speaking about here is if there's a chronic inability to care for oneself, or there's just a lack of even awareness that there's a need for self-care. And then obviously the last one would be exercise. Often that's the thing that goes out the window when somebody's stressed or overwhelmed, but it's really vital to our functioning is being able to exercise, being able to be fit and healthy. So look at these things and make a fair evaluation of yourself, and then it'll also be easier for you to help somebody else evaluate where they are at. The last area in terms of bodily or physical functioning is personal hygiene. You might all get a bit freaked out, but I think generally that's, as psychologists, you know, that's one of the things that we train to do, is to look at somebody and to assess from an outward and an inward level, where are they at? And so often huge clues are, you know, is the person well-kempt? Is their hair washed? Do they smell because they haven't bathed in a few days? Are they wearing the same clothes that they wore last week, and you actually think they haven't changed those clothes since you saw them last week? So those are the type of things. Obviously, I'm describing quite a hectic scenario, but to look at these things, to look at whether the person has the capacity to take the extra time to look after themselves physically. Are they inappropriately dressed? Maybe they, you know, kind of threw on some clothes in the morning and it's freezing cold, but they've got a summer's dress on. Things like that just give you an idea of where they're at and how they're functioning. And you know, another thing around hygiene and kind of daily tasks is, do you get the sense that they are struggling to perform the things that you and I would think are normal? So brushing teeth, getting up, being on time for work, being on time for appointments, going to varsity lectures, are they perpetually bunking? Those are all things that give you an indication of where the person's at, and things that you need to look at in your own life, as maybe blind spots or areas that need healing. So if we look, that was obviously the physical or the bodily side of things. If we look at things from a soul perspective or your psychological functioning, that would really relate to three different areas. The one is the social and relationship functioning of a person, their academic or work functioning, and then their emotional functioning. So looking at social functioning, even in your own life, you know, do you have difficulty maintaining relationships? If you're real with yourself, do you actually end up breaking off relationships, particularly intimate relationships? Do you find that you have a cyclical pattern with friends, even where you kind of best buddies with somebody for a few months and then they disappear out of your life? So obviously a healthy relationship is one that's sustained over time. It can weather the bad times and the good times. Those are the things we want to be looking at. Do you find that you have poor contact with people on an eye-to-eye individual level? Do you find that most of your contact actually is through social media, maybe through Facebook, that you're living your life in a pseudo way that you actually removed from the reality of life? Are you unable to deal with conflict in relationship? And although that sounds like something that most of us want to avoid, conflict is actually healthy and it's natural. And in general, there might be a problem on the soul level if you are blatantly avoiding conflict and blatantly staying away from any situation that where conflict might ensue. Do you struggle with peer pressure? Are you somebody who, you know, actually really, really is easily influenced by others, and you can see the negative behavior patterns in your life when you're around certain friends? So these are the things we want to evaluate. Is there poor involvement in extramural activity? So do you find that you actually are just going to work or going to varsity, coming home and going to bed, and not being involved in things on a social level? Lastly, it's quite important to also assess where you're at in terms of kind of extramurals and being involved with perhaps sport or, you know, something outside of just work and maybe family life or socializing. So that's also an area that one can look at. And if you realize, sure, this needs a bit of work, then perhaps something you can focus on. So we look now at academic or work functioning, depending on which context you're in. Just looking at things like, are you bunking lectures repeatedly, maybe being sick from work often? So not genuine illness, but sort of every few months there's a sick day that you take, actually because you're not coping emotionally. So be real about these things. Are you failing? Are you not performing at work in the way that you should be, not meeting your objectives? Are you failing subjects at varsity or at school? Are you unable to commit and maintain responsibility? So is there sort of a negative trajectory in your progress, either at work or at varsity or at school? And have you perhaps been dismissed? Because that's often a real clear sign that you aren't actually functioning optimally and you maybe not achieving the things that you need to be achieving. Not that we're emphasizing performance here at all. One can often fall into performance mode. What we're looking at here is functionality. So are you able to cope with and do the things in life that are everyday normal things? And lastly, looking at emotional functioning, we need to look here at things like how do you feel? So the majority of the time, are you feeling actually quite depressed or low or irritable? Are you perhaps somebody who suffers from anxiety, that if you are real with where you're at, you worry and you're anxious most of the time? You maybe even have things like panic attacks, which are sort of more extreme. Do you have anger issues? Do you find that as soon as your equilibrium is unbalanced, you fly off the handle and become really angry, either with yourself or with others? Do you struggle with guilt or shame, that in most situations you end up feeling condemned or guilty or shameful about something that you've said or done? Do you have perhaps a low sense of self-esteem or feel inferior in most of your relationships and towards other people? So that also can be something where you perhaps always comparing yourself to others, or you know, but finding yourself to be the one who isn't as great, or you know, isn't as well off. Sometimes what can also happen is that one has an unresolved mourning or grief process. So you might have experienced loss even a few years ago in your life, but at that time you were perhaps the coper, you were perhaps the one who was holding things together, and then a few years down the line it feels like the wheels are falling off for you. And sometimes that's not because you're depressed or that there's something clinically wrong with you. It's sometimes just because that loss has built up and needs to be dealt with. So these are all things that we need to be aware of. Another final area is something like addictive behaviors, or even an eating disorder. So, you know, sometimes people feel like they're completely well held together, they're socially and emotionally functioning well, but actually they binge and purge on a regular basis, and that's their way of holding things together, but it isn't healthy or functional. So being, as we said, real about these things. And then finally, looking at spiritual functioning. This may be one that people are a little bit cautious of, because, you know, we all warn not to judge others. And again, you know, we never ever come with judgment or condemnation, but we need to know where we are at, and we need to be able to assess where somebody else is at in order to help them. So look at stuff like, is there clear evidence of salvation? And even in your own life, I know for me that although I was raised as a Christian, and even when I'd entered the charismatic church, I came to salvation, I did the salvation prayer, but it was only later in my life that the issue around whether God is good and whether he's really good all the time, which is fundamental to one's faith and to one's salvation, was something that I had to grapple with and work through. And so sometimes you might have somebody who is saved, but in terms of God's character and what they believe him to be and who he is, they actually have fundamental difficulties and issues and problems. And that is then core to the way that they feel, because their soul gets affected by that. So you're not judging them, but you do want to try and help them evaluate and help yourself evaluate, where are you at? And, you know, do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that in your relationship with him there is healing? Do you believe that the word is true? So these things we often take as kind of, you know, being self-explanatory, but sometimes when we spend the time evaluating if we really do believe them, we realize, sure, but there is deception or there's false truths that we've ended up believing because of what we've experienced in life. So obviously look at things like, has the person been baptized in the Holy Spirit? It just makes it so much easier if the person is able to hear from the Holy Spirit. In your own life as well, are you doing regular quiet times? Are you reading the word? Are you fellowshipping at church and in small group? Have you completed things like the e-series at our church? It's not an essential, it's not on the checklist, but it's an amazing resource. And all of these things help us grow emotionally and spiritually and physically. So look at these things, look at where the person is at, where you're at, and whether you're actually willing to grow, or maybe you're deceiving yourself and you're quite happy with where things are at, and you're looking for transformation because it's the right thing to do, but it's not necessarily where your heart's at. So as well, looking at an accountable relationship. Are you in a relationship that's life-giving, where the person can be honest with you and where you can receive honest feedback? So I hope you can use this questionnaire. Go through it. No one's going to look at it. So be honest with yourself. It's between you and God. And it'll give you a good assessment of where things are at on all three levels. And then it's something that you can use when you work with somebody else. And I always think it's so much easier to facilitate the process with somebody else if you've been through it honestly yourself first. So in speaking about self-care, obviously it's helpful to identify these things, but I always get frustrated if one doesn't know, okay, now what are you meant to do? So I just want to very briefly at the end of this session give you a few pointers of how one can look after yourself, what you can implement if you realize by doing this assessment that there's a lack in your life in this area, what processes you can implement to actually help yourself and to grow. So if we look briefly at the three in terms of body, if you see that you actually don't sleep well and you've never realized this about yourself, you can Google things like sleep hygiene. But basically what it speaks about is you need to calm down at the end of the day. You need to take time out. The more we stimulate ourselves through social media or through TV or series, the more awake we are, that when we go to sleep, it's hard to switch off. So really try and do things, and sometimes you can combine things together. So after work, going to exercise actually helps you switch off from work, take time out, but it's also really good for you in terms of your bodily care. So doing things like, if you know you want to fall asleep by 10 o'clock so that you can get your 8 hours in by 6, maybe start switching off around about 9, taking a nice bath, relaxing. So really putting things in place that you more purposefully care for these areas in your life in terms of sleep, in terms of nutrition. It might mean things like actually preparing the week ahead in terms of your menus, planning what you're going to buy from the shops. So often what happens is we end up eating junk food when we're rushed and fast-paced and we're on the road or we're busy at work and we don't have time to think ahead of how we're going to look after ourselves. So in general, for somebody who is functioning pretty well but has highlighted areas of need, it's going to always be about planning. And, you know, for those of us who are leaders, who are busy, who live fast-paced lifestyles, it's normally the self that gets denied. So we prepare for others, we provide for our families, we provide for our friends, but we put ourselves on one side. And I really want to encourage you and actually, you know, kind of emphasize that this is godly, that the Lord requests of us to look after our temples. And it's something that in terms of our Christian walk, that is part of our testimony. So if you're really looking terrible and you're not caring for yourself, it actually is an indication that perhaps things aren't, you know, aren't all completely in place. So, yeah, looking after yourself in terms of sleep, in terms of eating, being a bit more prepared, perhaps preparing meals in advance, making a big meal at nighttime so that you've got something for lunch during the day. Little practical tips like things like that. Then looking at the soul level, you know, we often don't check in with what we're feeling emotionally. So in terms of your quiet times, it's a time to connect with God, but it also can be a time where you can journal. You know, just writing down, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Sometimes switching on a worship CD while you're driving, but just being real with the Lord and with yourself about what has your day actually been like and what emotions has it elicited in you. And in terms of your spiritual well-being, practically speaking, that's obviously spending time with the Lord, but being intimate with Him, being real with Him. So that needs to be specific time that you put aside, but it's also communing with the Holy Spirit just in whatever you're doing during the day, and feeding your spirit by reading the Word, by making yourself open to the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. So if you experience that by doing this questionnaire and you see, there's a lack in one of these areas, these are practical tips you know, that will be helpful to perhaps help you grow in a specific space. But just to also realize, with somebody who has a more serious condition or their problems are more serious, they're more pervasive, they've done the questionnaire and they can almost tick absolutely every single one of the items mentioned, then they may need counseling. And that could be you. You may need counseling from a professional, either a counselor or a psychologist. So look, don't go into panic mode. This is just a way of assessing oneself. But it is important that we look after ourselves, and you need to kind of, it's almost on a continuum, and you need to have an idea of where are you at. Is it in a really bad space and there's lots of room for growth, or are you perhaps in a space that you're functioning pretty well but there's a few things that you need to tweak? I know for myself that I really struggle. My husband is incredibly disciplined, as one of his attributes. And so these things come naturally, whereas I need to really make a concerted effort to go and exercise. I'm one of those people that has to swipe my card at Virgin at the end of the month because it's not necessarily part of my lifestyle. And I really need to try and make it part of my lifestyle. And you need to just gauge where are you at? Is this something that comes naturally and these things are actually all there and there's good self-care? Or are you somebody who you tend to put this aside and you actually have to discipline yourself in this area in order to make it work?